town you never heard of.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Common Folk Podcast with Ben, Morgan, and Andy.
Welcome back to Common Folk.
That's right, podcast for the people, by the people.
Eric Berget on the intro. We haven't talked about him for a while.
No, we haven't, but he does. He's Spotify figured out that I like him, so they rotate him in.
Hearing a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Didn't you just recently talk to him?
Yeah.
And he come into Farm
to
Progress?
Pretty often, yeah.
Okay.
The Farm Progress show this year is in Decatur, Illinois. It looks like it's August 26th through the 28th. One of the biggest farm shows in the country. Actually, it's literally right down the road from his mom's house.
Does that show move?
Yeah, that's his area, right?
Wait, because Farm Progress was here before, so it's a moving show.
It is in Illinois and in Iowa. It goes back and forth each year.
Oh, okay. I just wonder how you become the biggest farm show. Like, how does that happen?
I think they just do a really good job with all things, like their setup, you know, their advertising, their location.
Gotcha.
You know, so it's the time of year, you know, that kind of thing. So it just makes it easy to attend. And
so September is a good time of year for these guys.
That's in August, but
August.
Yep, not bad.
Planting's all done. They're not
right.
Harvest hasn't started yet for the most part. So
it's basically like their summer.
Yeah, all the farmers have already got their Hawaii trip in and under the belt. Now it's time to come home and go to a farm show.
Yeah,
I gotcha.
So Eric's going to be there. When I was talking to him, I can't remember what booth he said, but he's going to be performing. So he'll be doing like some live shows.
All right.
We might go up and bring him some merch. I don't know for sure yet.
Oh, okay. It's the first time I'm hearing this. Perfect.
And I was also talking to the Welkers, because there's a bunch of the big brands that are on the Farm Focus site are going to be there.
Yeah.
Welkers are in real tight with Case IH, so they'll be in the Case booth, I would imagine, but also Titan Tire, so like the big, big ass tires that you've seen on these tractors, you know, they're advertising that.
Like I can stand in the tire?
Some of these you can stand like a couple of you in the tire.
For real?
Yeah.
Some big ones.
Okay.
I know they're going to be in that booth, and we might bring some merch up for that too and see those folks. And there'll be a bunch of other folks that we know up there, but... Either way, Berget, if you get a chance to get to that show, look him up. He's a great dude, and he's good live. His live show was awesome.
Yeah,
we went to that a couple years ago.
Yeah, we did. That was good.
What's his website? It's got to be...
I think it's just ericberget.com.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
I just want to point people in the right direction. You can find him, Eric Berget, B-U-R-G-E-T-T, on any social media. He's super active on social media.
Yeah. He does a really good job.
Well... And those music videos that he does, I was talking to him about that. Him and his wife edit all those. Like he doesn't he doesn't farm that out. He doesn't have a company do that.
It's pretty awesome.
He's like a lot of these musicians that they just do it all. They don't, you know, have this big label doing things and directing them. And no, it's a lot of his stuff is independent and it's all on him.
This is pretty sweet. If you go to his website, so it is ericberget.com, ericberget.com. And you can kind of see all of his tour dates and all the things that's going on. And he's got a shop link up here. You go to that, and then it's got like some artwork, and then it's got, see that, Eric Berget plus Farm Focused. That's pretty cool because we host his store and send his stuff all over the country. So pretty cool.
And he is just an old farm boy. Grew up singing in the church.
He is for sure. I think it was 2 years ago when Farm Progress was in Illinois. I went up there and I stayed at his parents' farm and got to see everything. And they
didn't they put you to work?
So his family also helps the Farm Progress organization every year set up booths. So they handle like landscaping and fencing and all kinds of stuff like that. So they were working, and I just rode around on the truck with them and shoveled some...
I feel like whenever you're around or we go to a show and he meets these, or he, you know, like Zach or Millennial Farmer or whatever, they just put him to work because he goes to stay with them.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, this is free help.
Yeah.
So he gets like a little bit taken advantage of.
It's like earn your keep, right?
It's not taken advantage
of. I'm kidding. I know. But so I thought they put you to work, but it was for the show. Gotcha.
Yeah. So anyway, check him out. So yeah, we It's morning. We're recording at 8 o'clock, which is
unusual.
Yeah,
doesn't my voice sound a little bit like mannish? It's a little low today.
I'm not saying anything.
I'm not taking any testosterone
in that
anything.
Pile of dog shit.
I'm just saying, I found that like hearing myself back, I sound a little raspy. Mm-hmm. It is early, yeah. And I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sick, but
I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, do you like it? It sounds like it's a new girl.
There's all kinds of landmines in
not,
here.
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Okay,
let's
next.
Let's meet the new Morgan, huh?
Yeah, Morgan's setting us up for freaking...
I'm just saying, I sound a little raspy. All right, next. Okay. What are we talking about? All right.
So last week, we just got... We spent time almost all week up
You guys are in Michigan, right?
No.
Wisconsin,
yeah.
I mean, it was damn close.
Wisconsin. Okay. Southeast Wisconsin, by Milwaukee.
I didn't really hear people talk with an accent there.
I heard some northerner accents here and there, but a lot of people traveled in for that.
Yeah,
thing.
It was more southern.
We were at the Classic Green reunion. John Deere stuff. You know, antique John Deere tractors and machinery.
That's fine.
Like John Deere lovers, obsessed lovers.
Oh, they're out there.
Yeah.
They're out there.
Which was kind of cool. Yeah. I've never seen anything like it.
ClassicGreen.com or .org if you want to check them out. Basically, it's a club. It's a membership.
Sure.
So you buy into the membership and then, you know, there's a bunch of perks with it, but every 2 years they do a reunion. So it was their reunion this year. They have it in a different place every year.
Mm-hmm.
We do some merchandise for them. They're on the Farm Focused website, started working with them just this year. So they asked us, hey, can you load up some stuff and handle merch at the show? They've had, some trouble with it in the past. So we said, all right, we'll give it a shot. We loaded up the trailer, man. We got a ton of stuff put together.
Yeah, you guys had some presses out there, right?
Yeah.
You guys took machinery out.
We took machinery out. We had pre-printed stuff. We had hats. We had all the displays. I mean, we took a lot of stuff up there. We've done a few live events here and there, but nothing to this scale.
Mm-hmm.
Huge investment, you know, a big leap of faith, you know, to hopefully that it was going to work. But I trusted these guys. Based on everything that they told me. And we went up there and we had a great time, man. It was a fun little trip. We had four of us up there working, including our son. And it was cool, man. A lot of really good people. They're great to work with. A lot of really cool old John Deere equipment.
I was going to say, I bet you saw a lot of Model A's and B's.
All of it, man. Yeah, about anything you can think of.
They had some cool snowmobiles. Did you know John Deere made snowmobiles?
I did. Oh, yeah.
Holy cow. So vintage.
The guy that I worked for through high school, he was a John Deere guy through and through.
Yeah.
And he had a couple old John Deere snowmobiles.
Where are those? Like, obviously, they're not making them now, but it was just kind of cool to see. I didn't know.
Worked with what turned into Acres Equipment, one of the big John Deere implements across Nebraska. I was just trying to be creative with a photo shoot, and I knew that they had John Deere chainsaws.
Oh, really?
Really?
So we did a photo shoot with some John Deere chainsaws.
Okay, but do they still make all this old stuff that they used to, or have they just narrowed down their portfolio?
I think they have a working deal with steel equipment for that type of stuff.
Oh,
because I see a lot of steel, displays and stuff at those different, you know, locations.
And isn't steel normally a different color, but then they can do green?
Yeah, they're...
Oh, that's cool.
No, they're still orange and gray.
Oh,
you know,
but it would just say John Deere.
No.
They would make them green for John Deere.
They would not. It's just steel is orange and it's just a part of like a corner
of the
location, the storefront.
I got you.
But this was a John Deere. Yeah. I'm talking about this was a John Deere chainsaw. It was like the yellow.
Weird.
Yeah. You got to like do a double take. Like, is that for real?
Yeah.
I mean, I want to say that was... Those chainsaws were made in like the 70s.
Okay.
Something like that.
Yeah.
They're old.
Huh.
So it just kind of looked cool.
Yeah, definitely. No, it was fun.
It was cool to see the history and like, you know, how into it so many folks are.
And little kids too. I mean, obviously they're trending like what their parents do.
Yeah.
But they're mm-hmm. so excited that they have a Model B or, you know, like, I don't know yeah, any yeah. of these things, but
yeah.
Yeah.
It was a cool thing to see with the kids because, you know, again, you know, we always talk about and you see all the, you know, the video games and mm-hmm. the cell phones and all the things these kids are into. And we saw, you know, kid after kid after kid out there that wasn't like that at all.
Oh, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're taking apart a motor, you know, a block, and they can speak to that, and they do that, and it is. It's fun.
And they were just ecstatic about the machines. I mean, you know, the kids come over to the booth where we've got T-shirts, and we've got some T-shirts specific to certain models and eras.
Yeah.
And they're looking at it, and they're like, oh, my God. They're so pumped to get that shirt that has that tractor that they love on it. You know,
yep, the one that they've been working on, for quite a while, which is great.
You know, it's cool to see.
I was telling Ben that there's something about like farm kids, they're just way more social and they'll talk, to adults. I think it's because probably they're around adults, they're in like work experience. I mean, I don't know what it is, but it was very apparent to me that they're not, they'll make eye contact with you, not necessarily shake hands, but like. There's something that they have that some of these other kids don't have in rural places.
Yeah. Well, there's probably a lot going on there. For one, they're excited about what they're talking about.
Okay, you know, true. Tractors,
and they also have a knowledge of it. So there's a confidence there, whether they know it or not, so they can speak to it. And they feel comfortable speaking to it. And they want to.
Yeah.
You know, so... if you had a bunch of adults that were into playing Candy Crush on their phone for 5 hours a day, you know, and just be an introvert, you know, maybe kids would be more apt to talk to them, you know, talk to them. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Just, speaking of youngsters, being on the other side of things and the good side, the positive side, we wrapped up our baseball season and the boys played their best game, our final game. So,
good.
It was the playoffs. It was a tournament. Uh-huh. We were a lower seed. But the team that we played committed one of the, what I consider one of the ultimate cardinal sins of tournament baseball.
What?
They tried to beat us with their lesser pitching staff. They didn't pitch their ace. And so we jumped on top of them. We had a lead the entire game. They had to play from behind, and we had them on the ropes. We had them on the ropes. And then, well, you could say the bottom of the ninth, they hit back-to-back home runs to beat us.
Oh, shoot.
Kind of a heartbreaker, but I was still proud of the boys. My son had a two-hit game, his only two-hit game of the season.
Nice.
So, yeah, it was a bittersweet game, but all the parents said really nice things to me and the staff afterwards, and that was, you know, it made it worthwhile. It was pretty cool to hear that.
So, oh, that is cool to hear.
So, yeah, yep, and the boys, they played well. They played good.
That's awesome.
It's that fun. Is fun. Well, and it makes it fun thinking about season next year. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The kids then probably want to come back and play rather than leaving a season like, I'm never playing again.
It did. There was a transformation that happened, and it was afterwards, a couple hours after, someone said, well, Ozzy, what are you going to do with the rest of your summer? He goes, practice baseball.
So like, love it.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's definitely baseball season. There's a lot of that going. College World Series is in
have
town
you gone?
Right now.
I haven't gone to a game
yet. Gosh, we always go. Like, I always like want to go to at least one game. Gotcha. We haven't. No, Joel went. It's not going to happen. We watched the game last night.
I was glued to the TV
Me
last
too.
Night.
I was like, go LSU. Yeah. I wondered who you were rooting for. Oh, you wanted Arkansas. You wanted that underdog.
Go Tigers. Okay. G-U-A.
I can't believe they lost, though. That was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going against LSU's always here, and there's
always
a lot of LSU fans, and we love them. And Omaha's kind of adopted them as one of the hometown favorites. But Arkansas's coach, Van Horn, got his first start at Nebraska. And the only reason he left Nebraska was because that's his alma mater, is Arkansas.
Gotcha.
And Arkansas's second baseman, it's been well documented, he's from Millard South.
Okay.
And he had a tough game.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, so that was tough to see. You know, you kind of root for the hometown boy and all that stuff.
For sure.
And, but that final inning, Arkansas did everything they had to do to lose that game. It wasn't one player. It wasn't one play.
So, oh, my God. They could have had a, like a double out or like a double play. Sorry. And
Turn two, shortstop, and he's their best player, you know, and he didn't. He had a brain fog and left fielder misplayed a ball. Oh, you know, I mean, that adds up.
Seeing games like that, make me feel so much better about our little league games.
Right? Yeah. If these guys do it.
Yeah. Right. Because, yeah, I mean, we watch some of these kids and, you know, like I'm the assistant coach, right? So I'm out there talking to them about stuff. And I see some of these just ridiculous mistakes on these kids. And I'm just like, guys, you know, like, we practice this. This is what you do. What you should be able to do this in your sleep. You know, and I'm talking to little leaguers. Mm-hmm. And then I see College World Series player do the same things. And I'm like, okay, this is just like human nature.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Well, even Louisville a couple of games ago, I mean, they had one of the best shortstops in the nation. And it was a slow roller. And he just totally, it just went under his glove. Mm-hmm. Like,
God. I think I saw that.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. You're like, dude, you know the glove hits the ground. Like, come on.
I say that probably 500 times a game. Yeah. Get your glove on the ground. Get your glove on the ground. No, but it's a spectacular event. Omaha does a great job of hosting that. And, man, what a battle. That game was awesome. Arkansas versus LSU.
Yeah.
You could tell that.
I felt bad for those fans. I couldn't even watch. I told Ben, I was like, I can't. When people are crying, it makes me sick to my stomach. I just walked away from the TV. I was like, turn this off.
Yeah, and Cam, a kid from Millard South, he was having a rough go of it, and his mom was there, and it was tough.
That does stink.
Yeah. But you could tell that that's the elite of the elite. Mm-hmm. When I mean, they're making errors, and they booted a couple balls, but you could still just tell.
Right.
That those are two of the best teams
players,
in the nation.
Side note, I was telling Ben, I can't believe there's going to be 2 days of no games. Mm-hmm. That's got to suck for like revenue for people out there. You know what I mean? Selling stuff.
Oh, well,
I'm always thinking of like booths and things out there. Or do you think people are still going to be mulling around?
I think it's like, it's a bonus for them because they get, now it's like a mini series after possibly get a 3-game.
It seems like there's never really a day, but now there's 2 days. Mm-hmm. Anyway, speaking of Omaha, wasn't there some like raids in Omaha?
Yes. ICE, ICE was in town.
Okay. Have you heard anybody be playing Vanilla Ice a lot lately? I have.
Really?
On social media?
I have not.
You haven't?
No.
I mean, we should play that song.
A total troll move?
It is. Total troll. Doesn't it make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ice baby.
I saw this is kind of messed up, but somebody showed me the other day like a meme or whatever on their phone, you know, and it's the big, which you don't see a lot of them anymore, but the big coolers outside of gas stations where you get your ice.
Oh yeah,
right?
yeah.
Like with the big doors, you walk out there, you get your thing.
I saw this.
It says ice on it, and then it says they now have drop boxes.
Yeah. Stop.
UPS drop offs or something. I was like, jeez, these guys.
It showed a blue hair like screaming at the ice. Like she actually thought it was a like a red box type of thing.
Yeah.
Right. Gosh.
They now have these in front of every gas station.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of funny.
All jokes aside, I mean, it is a it's a serious thing, and I have feelings on both sides of it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's in also, I mean, I think Andy, you were talking about earlier, you know, some of the specifics that's going on in Omaha, which I'd like to hear about. But I feel like in general, overall, it's really being blown up in terms of like being blown out of proportion of what's actually going on.
Yeah.
Oh, you think it's going on lesser, like it's smaller?
I think, you know, we're like the media is blowing it up so much that we think that like, tens of thousands of people are being deported and
families are being targeted to be ripped apart.
Yeah, all this kind of stuff. And some of that probably is happening, but it's not to the scale that we're being led to believe, I don't think.
Like, isn't it like Omaha had like 40?
You were spot on. The where you're going with this is kind of how reminds me of the airplane stories, you know. And I actually, like how you're saying it's getting blown out of proportion, like I bet this stuff happens all the time,
right?
But as soon as it starts to become a theme or a narrative, then it's like every week, oh, another plane fell out of the sky.
100%. I know for a fact that there has been ICE raids or whatever you want to call it in Omaha for years.
Yeah.
I've heard about it for years, but it's never been blown up like it is right now.
And I think there's a couple fronts and there's a couple of theories as to what's going on. For one, it's, you know, it's fodder with, you know, who our president is, mm-hmm. Trump, and him trying to clean up or whatever, you know. But there was a mayor, Omaha has a new mayor,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and he is pretty outspoken, and he is waving the blue dot type of flag, and he made some statements, and I heard that was kind of just a shot across the bow, like, watch what you say mm-hmm. and who your president is, and if this is how you're going to act, guess who just showed up to take one of your guys' businesses down a notch or two.
So do you think that's going to shut him up a little bit?
Yeah, according to his live presser that we streamed, it shut him up a lot of bit.
Okay.
So.
Oh, so you guys covered this?
Yeah, we streamed it live.
I see.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't. He got up there and talked. I don't know how many minutes, but it's amazing how those politicians can talk for an hour and not say a damn thing.
Yeah.
It is wild.
So boring. Who watches that though?
A lot of people. Well, we had over 1,000 watching it live.
Yeah. Well, I didn't mean that, but I'm like, don't you have something else better to do than?
The story that gets lost on me, when we're talking about if it's right, if it's wrong, I don't like how it's basically trafficking people. That is what's breaking families apart in the first place, is that we put this up there where it's okay because we're not willing to do the work, or these people aren't willing to do the work. So we need to allow corporations to funnel these people in illegally and make them do jobs that we don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's it's human trafficking. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. And you're not paying them fair wages. You're not treating them right. I've seen it on a couple different fronts throughout the ag industry.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's the grossest part of it. And here we have people protesting and this and that. And their heart, I think, is in the right place. You know, they believe they're fighting for something good and pure. And like, hey, they're not doing anything wrong. I mean, it's funny when they say that they're not doing anything wrong when just being here, they did it illegally.
Right,
that is
right.
Illegal. Right, like, that is breaking wrong. The law.
Yeah, that is wrong on that front just alone. But I know where they're coming from, and I think they mean well. But just take a half step back. It's like, so you're okay with, let's go with Tyson Chicken. We like to beat up Tyson a lot on this show. Just bringing people in illegally, not treating them fair, and then as soon as the gig's up, just shipping them out or just whatever, mm-hmm. sending them somewhere else. You know, we're okay with that? That's fine. I don't think that's fine.
No.
I think that these companies and manufacturing plants should be held to a higher standard, pay everybody fair wages, and, you know, do things legally.
And look at their you know, paperwork, like, maybe? I don't know. Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think one of the things that you're touching on is one of the main hot buttons for me, and to try to explain it in another way in the way that I look at it, what you're touching on is this idea about these workers and like no one else is willing to do these jobs.
We I have think to that have also these sounds people. Racist when someone's like, who's going to pick the strawberries? Like, oh my God,
yes.
Talk down to somebody yes. like that.
100%.
He said that, yeah.
Like, we should be ashamed that we would even say or think like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like people I know are literally saying that. And I know these people are good people. These people
right.
saying
That's,
that.
Yeah.
Yep. And they are not even thinking what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it's so wrong.
I saw a rant on X the other day, a lady with gray hair, nice lady that has done well for herself, and she's like crying, like, you're gonna have to mow your own yard, you're gonna have to clean your own pool, like, and I don't know how to clean my own pool, I need these people, like, oh my God,
that's
and
so then, wrong
and then saying things like these people, like, yeah. whoa, what
how
did
is
you
this
say
isn't
there?
That like slave
yes.
language,
and that's what I'm getting at with human yeah. trafficking
yes yeah.
How is this not a modern day form?
It is.
Of it that, is
of slavery.
It's yeah. wrong.
Period.
Today, by the way, is Juneteenth.
Oh yeah, it is.
Oh my.
Which is this?
I didn't mean to get into this.
No, but you're right.
It's true.
Which is the celebration of, if I understood it correctly, the final emancipation of slaves in Texas. I think it was like the final stop
right.
of the soldiers who came down and met those folks and said, hey, you're now you're free.
This is done.
Yeah, which is kind of a weird parallel. But Yeah, man. It when I look at it, when I hear that and I think, okay, all these folks are doing these jobs that supposedly everyone is saying that no one else is willing to do and so on and so forth, I feel like it's such bullshit, man. Like, I feel like for me personally, let's go back a little bit. You know, when you see, and let's just talk about, I mean, a lot of this is Hispanic people. We'll use the word Hispanic, Latino, whatever you want to use, right? There's all these terms for it. How many times have you heard from someone say, man, no one works harder than those people. Those are the hardest workers out there. Every, you know, on every job they're, you know, doing this and doing that. You always hear that kind of shit, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And it's true. They are. But here's the thing. You should be embarrassed by that, and you should be motivated by that.
Yeah. Right. Like, you should want to be that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you've got someone over here who wasn't born in your country and who has come here. And in most cases, a lot of them are trying to make a better life for themselves and their families. And they work four times as hard as you and probably get paid less. And then you just sit there and say, man,
they're hard workers, though.
Yeah. And we can't, man, we just wouldn't be able to, we wouldn't have our meat. We wouldn't have our farms.
Bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Offer me a fair wage and I'll do that goddamn job.
Yeah.
And that's all there is to it.
And so is it literally like these big organizations, these big companies taking advantage of individuals? Is it the climate that's been created where these big companies don't have a choice? Because if they did pay, you know, more higher standard wages, that they wouldn't be able to afford to operate, and then all of a sudden our groceries would be even more ridiculous. I mean, what all is going on there?
So if that happened, you'd also, okay, let's just go with a meatpacking plant. I would think you'd have more American-born American citizens making a higher wage. Therefore, they would have more money to spend within that economy. So if a steak did go up by 25 cents per pound or whatever, the more people could afford it. I think what's happened is they're hijacking the free market. I think that's what's going on there. And if you just allowed the free market to play itself out and operate like it's supposed to, it would be fine. But you have, we don't care about the consumer. We care about the shareholder. That's so you get off.
Yeah,
we've talked about this before, but that's where it gets off base. And well, what makes sense for the shareholder? Oh, traffic people in and not pay them. Well, I mean, doing a 401k and a health insurance and dental plan for these guys, that really cuts a lot out of our profits and our shareholding stocks.
Yeah.
So I think that's what's going on. I think you're just kind of fleecing the free and open market, and they're rewarded to do so. And there's no, I actually was laughing watching the news bit, one of them on that ICE raid. And it was Glen Valley Foods in Omaha that got raided. And ICE sent us footage, body cam footage.
Oh, like, they did.
Yeah, it's wild. I condensed it and put it on a YouTube short, but they showed up, knocked on the doors. Doors were locked, so they had to like call people in to get them to unlock the doors. And then after they stopped at the front office and said who they were, they went into the back, and you could tell the machines were still running, but no one was there. Everything was just dropped and gone.
And so everyone ran,
and they were hiding. They were like hiding in freezers. They were hiding behind
and they
pallets.
Pulled them out.
Yeah, it was like a grown-up hide and seek game. It was unreal.
Okay, so I was thinking about this, knowing they were in town, and they had to have gotten forewarned. Don't you think people would have just left work?
I knew in Omaha,
like they said they were coming.
Well, there was.
Like, don't you think you just wouldn't show up to work that day, so you wouldn't get?
I bet a lot of them did. Yeah, I bet a lot of them did exactly that.
But where I was going with it, what made me laugh in a like not a funny way was the owner shows up in his really nice car and goes, "Well,
of course, I
didn't do anything wrong. We got hoodwinked. They gave us we checked their facts. We checked their IDs, and that all checked out. They must have gave us fake IDs."
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, bullshit!
You're a millionaire. You need to be held to a higher standard than a shoulder shrug, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, I forget what he said. Like, we checked the Carfax.
Yeah,
you know, right. Like, well, that's good. That's what we got to do.
I wonder if there is any punishment for the folks running the organization.
That's what has to happen.
But is there no fines? There's nothing?
I don't. I think he's getting off scot-free because he's come out. Anyway, right there, it seemed that way. Like, and I don't know if something's coming his way or not, but he's like, we're going to be better now because now we know that we got to do better background checks. And boy, we're going to do more than just check this or that. It's like, you knew what you're doing.
No, right now,
nobody believes that he didn't know what he was doing.
Right. And he's lying. They're hurting for 40, 50 people that got snagged, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's other people that are probably at home that came to work the next day.
Over 70 got taken.
Okay, 70.
Yep.
From that one business.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay, so again, they're hurting for people. So, like, do you think he's just going to be able to find a bunch of non-illegals that quick, 70 people? Probably not. So he's full of it. I don't believe that for a second.
Yeah, well, I didn't. That's what was so funny to me was the hypocrisy. Was like,
yeah,
I didn't know. Like, yeah, you did.
Bull. You know, 70 people.
You knew who you were hiring.
And everyone's got to know he's full of shit. Yeah. And so that probably then happened. That happened in lots of other states and locations, correct?
I guess so. I mean, you know, the national news was talking about the big cities, like obviously L.A., Denver. We were talking about Denver because our daughter is out there working on an internship. And she's staying in a place downtown. So we talked to her last week hearing about the protest.
No Kings.
Yeah. And she was like, oh, yeah, the protesters are all over. It's big time down here, you know. Yeah. And we'll talk about the protest stuff a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, we're hearing about all these big cities. But Omaha was on that list, I guess, of the national news cycle.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And I think a little bit was fueled by I can't prove that. But the word I've been hearing is, it was a little bit fueled by what our new mayor was saying and what his policies are going to be and how we're going to line up Omaha just like L.A. and be a sanctuary city. With, you know, like, he didn't say that directly, but he's
like hinting. Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. So I it makes sense. It lines up, you know, just here's your slap on the wrist. You better get in line.
So at the root of all this is the illegal, you know, immigration and the illegal taking advantage of citizenship, you know, again, that's what's at the root of all this.
Mm-hmm.
People are spinning it to say, to completely ignore that and just say, oh, this is about families and people just trying to make their way. And I understand that.
Right.
There is that piece.
Of course.
But I think almost everyone probably has an example or knows somebody who was not born in this country and has come here and gone through the process, the very extensive process, to become a legal citizen.
Yeah.
So it's doable. I don't know if it's cost prohibitive or what the case is.
It does sound like it could be a little bit better, like more streamlined.
And, oh, I'm sure.
But also you don't want it to be too easy, do you?
Yeah. I think a lot of people have heard this too, and I've got some firsthand experience with it. I think the folks that go through that are held to a much higher standard in terms of like what they're expected to know and study and so on and so forth than we even are.
Right.
You know, just going through public, you know, school.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a gentleman that I worked with years ago, and he had done all that. And while we were working, he was running that process and had gotten his citizenship and all these things. And again, solid dude, good family man.
Yeah.
Worked very hard, was very good for the business. He was a hands-on guy, but also an office guy. You know, this wasn't this typical, like, oh, you know, dirty job worker, you know, whatever. Yeah. Right. Not that any of those things are wrong, but this wasn't this picture that they're painting of, you know, all the folks out there.
Yeah.
Worked hard, loved the opportunities that he had, and made the most of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's doable, right? So the folks who haven't done that, I mean, the thing is that the law is the law.
Right.
I mean, if you're going 10 miles an hour over the speed limit and you get pulled over and you get a ticket, you know, you can't say,
my heart was in the right place. I was speeding because I had to make it to the library to return this book.
Justification. I was just trying to get to my kid's baseball game on time. Don't you see that I'm just trying to help my family?
Yeah, mm-hmm. right.
You know, like, right? Yeah. I mean, it's the law is the law.
Right.
So if you're violating that law, then, you know, it's like that.
That's illegal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's literally what it is.
I think everyone knows that. I know.
Like, duh.
Yeah. So that's kind of hard for me to swallow that's not happening because it is happening.
There's a funny thumbnail like that. It's our meme, and it was an old quote from, I think it was Nancy Pelosi, like, these illegal immigrants haven't broken the law. Like, you just said they're illegal.
You used the word, yeah.
Illegal. Like,
yeah.
But I do think we need to bring up that, don't you think the majority of illegal people here are trying to your point, do well? But then we have the other people that are causing chaos, that are, you know, criminals and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like as they're coming over and trying to become legal, or maybe not, but working their way, don't you think that most of them would be like, thank you, America? Like, you see all these protesters and all that crap. What you're choosing to be here.
It goes,
so why are you throwing and
waving the flag of a different nation?
Yeah, I don't get it.
It goes back
to, like, mind blowing to me.
What we've talked about with this podcast and why this podcast exists, the common folk.
Yeah.
So the majority of that group of people are common folk, just mm-hmm. like us.
Mm-hmm.
They're here to work. They have a family. They want to do right. For some reason, a lot of them have not figured out how to run the process to become legal. We don't know the specifics of that. Maybe it is really hard. Maybe it's, you know, I'm sure there's more to that story.
Well, and I also believe the biggest part of it is the company that is paying them or brought them over is mm-hmm. incentivized to keep them undocumented.
Yeah.
Because if once they become a citizen, now you do have to give them a dental plan. Now you do have to treat them like a normal human being.
Oh, so you think this falls back mainly on corporations?
Yes. It falls back. And so then what you're getting at, these people waving different country flags and protesting. So you're fighting for Tyson Chicken to be able to keep these people under their thumb.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I... That's where I'm at with this.
Like, yeah.
What are you fighting for? Why you're protesting no kings, but you're actually cheering for the kings?
Right. Absolutely. You know,
these organizations, these companies that are bringing people over like that, are totally. It is not a fair scenario at all.
What the protesters should be fighting for is the process to help these folks gain legal status and mm-hmm. have opportunities mm-hmm. to do things outside of just some hidden job in a dark alley that mm-hmm. they hope they're never going to get caught.
Right. Yeah. Instead of leave them alone and let them keep their head down and, you know, like, what?
Yeah.
You're cheering to just continue treating these people as like a subspecies of people? Yeah. Like, what are we talking about here?
I mean,
the way that a lot of times we touched on earlier, it grosses me out. Like, well, then who's going to pick our strawberries? Like, what?
Yeah.
You're willing to say something that demeaning?
Right.
And feel that you're in the right? Yeah. Like, just it all gets me going a little too much.
Well, I agree, man.
Some of the protestant, like, some of that was paid. I mean, there was documented videos that, like, it's another group.
One story that's
paying people to protest. Yeah.
One story that I saw that I hope was real, and I hope something comes of it, because this happened in Lincoln, Nebraska, years ago when Trump and Biden were mm-hmm. campaigning.
Mm-hmm.
A pallet of bricks just showed up.
Yep.
Like, who's doing that? Who's dropping pallets of bricks? Who's doing that? I think it was a post from some government official, like, we're going to figure out and we're going to prosecute whoever's just dropping off pallets of bricks in front of these rides.
In today's day and age, how does somebody not have that on video?
No, but they have it. I've seen it.
Yeah, but what I'm talking about is like the actual truck.
Yes.
The sticker on the side of the truck. The picture of the face of the guy driving the truck.
Yeah. Menards isn't giving away pallets of bricks or cinder blocks. Yeah. That's what showed up on these last ones, cinder blocks.
Yeah.
I mean, they're purposefully dropped off. Someone knows. Mm-hmm. There's cameras everywhere.
And that's evil. I just feel
So what would be what would be the motivation behind the folks who are supposedly organizing this or dropping off those things or adding fuel?
Well, they said it's the next, the new BLM.
To this yeah, that's fine, but what is the motivation for adding fuel to this protest fire? Like, what are they trying to achieve, do you think?
Anarchy. The folks
that chaos. Are doing that?
Yeah, chaos. Anarchy.
Just for the shits and giggles.
No.
Yeah.
It's to keep us watching that and complaining about that rather than mortgage rates and going to wars.
Focusing on something else.
I think it's just keeping it's keeping your attention on stupid stuff where they want it. So like I'm playing right into it. Mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
we're talking about it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We got to get Agent Blue in here.
We do.
He's overdue.
But I do think there's a lot to it where let's just keep the dummies over here throwing bricks, and then the next set that think they're so smart talking about the dummies throwing the bricks, and that's me. I'm that level of dummy. So
well, we're calling it out though. We're calling it out for what it is.
Yeah,
for real.
To go back to one of the things that you were talking about, Morgan, the they're saying okay, these illegals and all this, these criminals and all this stuff that they're doing. Okay, if you're violating the law of being a citizen and you're not going through that process, are you a criminal? I guess by definition, you are a criminal.
Yeah.
But that's not really the type of criminal they're talking about. That's not the one we're hearing about. The type of criminal we're hearing about is the one that's coming in, hurting people, raping women, killing people, trafficking drugs, on and on and on, right?
Yeah.
That's what we're hearing about. That's the narrative behind this is these folks have got to go because they're criminals. They are killing U.S. citizens. They are hurting U.S. babies, all these kinds of things, right?
Right.
That, again, back to what we talk about with common folk, that is a very small subset that is getting all of the, that's making all the noise, that's getting all the attention.
Well, it's the two extremes, right? It's this poor little farmer that's just been working his ass off and just wants to be left alone and left to his family. Mm-hmm. It's working hard for his family. And then there's the gangbanger, and he's getting shipped off to El Salvador. Yeah. And you're right. The common folk falls right in the middle, and that's the majority.
And is that happening? Are those true criminals existing and create and committing heinous crimes? 100%. That is happening, and those people need to go. And a lot of them are.
Yeah.
Like, that's been happening all along. Law enforcement is finding these people and dealing with them. FBI, local law enforcement, whatever the case may be. This whole thing, man, back to what we were saying in the beginning, I feel like it's just gotten blown out of proportion on what's really going on.
Yeah. Yeah, and even the ICE raids in Omaha, it felt like there was something else behind it. It wasn't, on both sides, it wasn't just about, we're trying to break up families. Oh, we're just trying to do the right thing and hold this company accountable. No, the motivation, even from what I've heard, was something else. It was like, this politician stepped out of line, so we're going to have to, take him down a notch or two. It has nothing to do with, on either side, treating people right, giving people fair pay for what they're doing. That's so far down the ladder. Even in our conversation, it's like the fifth thing.
I guess my head goes to what would be the reasoning that the Biden administration thought it was fine to let millions of people come over? Like, why? What is the core? Are they adding value? No, we're adding people to a place that's already packed. I guess if you peel it back, what was the freaking reason in the first place?
To open the borders?
Yeah. No one's ever really talked about that. Again, it's just political bullshit that's going on.
Yeah, the old narrative is these people need asylum. They're victims of war and you're not willing to do that job. You're not willing. They also throw that guilt thing, but you're not going to send your son into a field to do that job. Bullshit. Mm-hmm. I will too. Mm-hmm. Yes, I will.
Like, yeah.
I mean,
you I've done tassel all, corn.
Yeah. I've had to throw, you know, bales when I was in middle school. I've roofed plenty of times, you know, and I'm kind of proud of it. I love that. You know, that I give me some tar paper, give me a staple gun, give me a couple of tabs, of shingles and I can do it. Mm-hmm. I know I can do it. Mm-hmm. You know, I spent 2 or 3 years through college.
Yeah.
So that work is not beneath me. And I don't think any lesser of someone that does it and does it very well. In fact, I think a lot of those people, you know,
so are these, illegals going to this place that they show on social media? Like, you know, that there was this camera that's showing all these people in jumpsuits. Are we taking them somewhere?
Or
are we literally just taking them back? How does this work? Like, we detain them, then what? Well, does anybody know this process?
The hardcore criminals, our government worked up a deal with El Salvador, and we're just shipping them to their, like, high-security mega prison.
Okay, I'm fine with that if you're a criminal. But if these people over here illegally, they were just working at Omaha Packing Plant, whatever.
I don't know.
No one really knows?
I mean, that was the last shot of that, the last couple frames from ICE was the bus.
Oh, so there is a bus, and then that's that.
They had a number of buses there,
I guess they're being deported to whatever their
they just get to go
home country is.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So then we just get them a flight and...
Another satire meme from the Babylon Bee. You touched on it, how you saw a lot of Mexican flags being waved, you know, and different nations being waved around, especially the L.A. riots. Mm-hmm. And it was ICE putting out a thank you, saying by them waving the flags, it's helping us know exactly where they need to go back to. So like, they're helping us out. We want to thank the protesters for
telling us where you're from.
Yeah, for helping us out.
Yeah.
Gosh,
that whole flag thing is wild. And I know most anybody who's on social media has seen this, but and again, that's, you know, it probably happened very little, but that's what gets blown up on media is these protesters flying Mexican flags in LA or whatever.
It was a crazy shot, and I know everyone's seen it, where that dude is on his motorcycle in front of all the people, in front of all the law enforcement, and the car is ablaze. There's like 3 cars in flames, and he's waving that flag with a mask, and I think he had like a skull like on it, you know, so it's very intimidating. And you see that image, and then you see the mayor of LA saying it's a peaceful protest.
Yeah.
What is peaceful about any of that? Yeah. It's a scene out of Mad Max.
And there probably is 100 other peaceful protests going on.
Right.
You're not getting the pictures of those.
No.
We're getting the pictures of this one. But just the irony of it, you know, that's been pointed out online of someone who has left a country that they disliked so much that they were willing to go illegally in another one and risk it, is burning the one that they wanted to be a part of while flying a flag of the one that they didn't want to be in.
It makes no sense.
And that's one level of irony. And then you got the mayor saying, it's peaceful.
You're like, come on.
Yeah. They're throwing rocks at police officers on horses. Like, there is video of that.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's not peaceful.
God.
I feel like there is probably another side to this story that we don't know and that we're not exposed to. And I would suspect it would come from someone who has had firsthand experience with this, you know, who either has a family member or they themselves, you know, have come over here or a very close friend and can add more to this. So I would say anybody listening, if you know someone in that boat, send us a message. And let us know, and we'd love to interview them, because I'd love to share that side of the story too.
I would too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
A guy that comes to mind for me, kind of a famous guy, Cesar Millan, the dog.
Yeah.
Whisperer.
Oh, God, my God. I loved that show.
He makes no bones about it. He's like, I came here illegally because it was the only way he felt the process was way too long and this and that and everything else. Since that time, he has become a U.S. citizen, but he's like, I had to dodge a bunch of stuff, and I was here illegally, and you know, it was his first few jobs. He had to stay under the radar, and he had to play ball. He wasn't waving a flag, protesting. But so his story, and he just touches on a couple books that Ashley has of his, where he's like, I did. I came here illegally, but I'm not going to apologize for it.
So. Did you see, I saw this on social media yesterday, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
I think it was on The View.
Yeah.
Those bitches.
No, he did a he did about as good a job.
So
his,
good.
His explanation when they started talking, and you know, and he was like, yeah, you know, basically you come over here from another country. That's what I did. He said, you act like you're a guest in someone's house because that's what you are.
Yeah.
He was like, you make the bed, you keep the couch clean, you pick up after yourself, you leave it better than you found it, you know, which I think a lot of folks are doing.
Of course.
And then on top of that, you've got to run the process that place that you're going to has set forth in order for you to be legal and have all the things that come along with that.
Yeah, there's steps to take. And he did a really nice job of explaining it and using metaphors like you're saying, like you got to act like a guest. And it was because America allowed him to do this. Like, he even became governor of California. Yeah. Remember that?
Yes. You know? I just think those ladies just didn't know that was coming.
No.
And they were shocked.
Yeah.
And I
hard
loved
to,
it.
It's hard to argue, like you're saying, someone that's lived it.
Yeah.
And lived it to such a level as him, you know, like, how are you going to argue that?
Right.
And also he's older now, but he's still an intimidating figure. Like, you're not going to have Whoopi up there yelling at him.
Right. You know? Right. Do you think if we, like, let's say one of us were to go to another country and kind of do this same thing and kind of operate under the radar and operate illegally or whatever, that we would be treated potentially the same way? My thought on it is yes.
Oh.
That if we go to another country as a U.S. citizen, not as a citizen of that country, yes, we might bring some of our U.S. money and things like that. But if you looked at it as someone, as one of us coming into that country, trying to make a life, trying to make a living, taking advantage of, and not taking advantage in a negative way, but I'm saying taking advantage of all the things that country has to offer to build my life and to build my family, wouldn't that country have expectations of me as well?
Of course.
Right.
Right? Yeah, that's what you're getting at.
Yeah.
I thought you were going down the path of like the protesters that showed up in Egypt to protest Gaza.
No.
Whoops.
No, I'm just saying, like, this isn't, in my opinion, this isn't exclusive to the U.S.
Agree.
This is a thing that the U.S. is dealing with. This is a thing that I think a lot of other countries deal with as well.
Sure, of course.
But back to what we always talk about on this podcast, you know, you hear this shit on the media all the time, and where we're going to come in is we're going to give you the common folk perspective.
Yeah.
Like, bring you back down to earth. Let's talk about what's really going on.
Yeah, and something that I've really tried to hammer home here is just treat people with decency.
Man, yeah.
Like, that's all there is to it.
The golden rule, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's all I'm really fighting for in this whole thing,
or right.
that I'm most concerned with. Like, you start arguing about the stupid points of, well, he's undocumented. No, he's illegal. Like, no, forget about that. God damn it, this manufacturing plant is treating this guy unfairly.
If you really sat down and dug in, you know, if you took one individual that was, let's say, was picked up in that ICE raid in Omaha, and you got that whole story from that individual. How did this start? Where were you born? Where were you? How did you find out about what's going on in the U.S.? Mm-hmm. How did you make your way here? You know, were you offered something? Did somebody try? You know, if you followed that whole story and then told that whole story to the public,
you'd humanize somebody?
Right. That might change people's perspective on everything that's going on. Yeah.
I do think that the, you know, person coming over, there is some accountability that they probably knew working for this plant that they were going to be treated this way.
Sure.
So, like, it's a little bit then also on the individual.
Of course, it is.
I want to blame the plant for hiring them, but at the same time, this person coming over chose to work that job or take that job or chose to be treated like that. I don't know.
To a certain
right and again, or wrong.
We don't know their individual situations.
I'm just saying, like, if that happened, it has to have happened.
Yeah, where maybe they didn't
there's
have
a choice.
Maybe they didn't have very many choices as far as survival goes. But that being said, there is a process.
Yeah.
And there is a law.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are breaking the law, then you're breaking the law. I'm sorry. Like it does.
Whether
suck.
You knew it or not.
Yeah. If the deck's stacked against you and you didn't really have any choice but to break the law, I get it.
Yeah.
But if it's breaking the law, then it's breaking the law. It's illegal.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know any other way to explain that.
Yeah. Like you're getting at, other countries would treat it the same way, or maybe even
worse,
more harsh. Yeah. It would be a little more harsh than that.
They might just behead you somewhere.
Yeah.
No telling. In the end, I would love to hear more about this and learn some perspective from another side
That'd
of it.
That'd be great.
Our email address, info@farmfocused.com. That comes directly to me. If you have any suggestions or know anybody local that we could chat with, it'd be awesome.
That would be good.
What else did I have on here? I don't think I had any other notes about it. That was a little more in-depth topic than we planned, but I like it. It's real conversation.
Yeah, and I mean, it's happening now, and like you said, it's always been happening, but of course, for some reason, right now,
it's being
blown up.
And
Andy
said it earlier, you know, it's the whole Trump effect, right? I mean, people are just...
He pushes people's buttons. That's
people just want to let this dude have it, you know, over and over, which sometimes deserved, but not always.
Mm-hmm.
So last couple things I have here, I wanted you to, Morgan, to say a little something about the 50 mile march, 'cause that's coming up.
Yeah. Actually, when you were talking about the dates or showed the dates for that show, I was like, oh, okay. Mm. That's like 2 days after I'll be walking. August 23rd, 24th, 50 mile march. We're walking from Lincoln, Nebraska to Omaha, raising money still, this year, did it last year, accomplished that. That was a feat in itself. This year I was asked to be a platoon leader and I guess tried out for that or whatever. So blue platoon, boom, here we go. There's blue, red, white, yellow. There's just more numbers than there was last year. We have to be CPR trained.
Wow.
I mean, this is just getting more, you know, next level. So, if you want to donate, it is on our Farm Focus page. There's a link, I believe, or is on the Common Folk.
That's what I was going to ask. So basically, talk a little bit about the donation, how that works for you as a participant, and what is this all about? What is all this money for and about?
So with walking, each walker has to raise $2,500. It's non-negotiable.
Mm-hmm.
This money goes towards homeless vets and vets that, you know, need mental health help. This foundation has raised enough money. Their whole goal, they've only been in moving towards this for 5 years, was to get land, build tiny homes, help rehabilitate people. And they have 7 acres of land. They just bought it.
They did.
Yeah.
It's
in Bellevue.
Oh, wow.
Right next to the veterans home. So they got 7 acres. They're starting to, you know, get things moving. That was the hugest purchase, right? To get this land that's, I mean, that's expensive to do that. And then we're just working our way up from there. And so that's where the money is going. So this march is huge that each walker, I think we're going to be just under 200 walkers. And there's just so much logistical orchestration that has to go into it, right? Yeah. Marching from Lincoln to Omaha. We have a new path this year. We're going to be walking more on the Mopac Trail. We got off of, I believe it was Highway 6.
Mm-hmm.
They just thought that was very dangerous.
A lot of traffic.
Yeah. Even though I never felt like it was dangerous last year. We had a big brigade vehicle in the back. We have escorts, you know, it seemed very safe to me, but as the group has grown, they just needed to look at different avenues, had meetings with the governor, you know, all the things. So that's where the money is going. So I am still raising money. Gosh, I think I'm close to 1700. I can't remember.
I was just looking to get to point folks to that. So if you go to the Common Folk Podcast Instagram page.
Okay.
And then you click on the link in the bio. There's a couple options there for the link, but one of them goes to your 50 Mile March page. It shows a little bit about the organization. It shows what they've raised so far this year, and then it shows yours. As you said, the goal, the minimum goal is 2,500. You're at 1,645 with 12 individual supporters so far. So anything that anybody is willing to do obviously goes to a great organization, helps Morgan get to that goal that we need to get to. So you can do it that way. Is there, we'll have you after this go on the Farm Focused page and change the link there on the bio. So okay. It's on that.
Yeah.
So folks can go to either one, Farm Focused or Common Folk Podcast. Is there any other like easier way, like if someone doesn't have Instagram or whatever, that they can like the link they can literally go to?
I mean, if you look at that hyperlink that you're on right there.
Yeah.
I mean, otherwise, it's hard to see on the phone. If you want to donate, obviously contact me, Morgan, at farmfocused, FOCUSED.com. I can lead you in the right way. But no, it's a little bit longer link because it's a GoFundMe. No, it's not GoFundMe. What's the
GiveButter?
GiveButter, sorry, account. But yes, I don't want to make this too long of a spiel. But guys, I'm walking 50 miles in support of all these men and women that have suffered. So it's not the easiest thing. I did it last year, but I guess I'm crazy enough, if you call me crazy, and signed up the day after when I was sore and could barely walk. But hey,
you know,
it's coming up.
Yep, to raise funds and awareness for homeless veterans and veterans with mental health challenges. It's
right.
A non-government, non-profit organization, the 50 Mile March.
Yeah, it's a real deal.
And they do have a X or Twitter handle. It's @50_March. And I believe that will be a live stream throughout the march. It might even be the entire march. So,
yep.
That's kind of cool to watch, you know, the camera get passed around between platoon leaders and things of that nature. So
for sure.
Are you guys ending in La Vista again then?
Yeah, at the brewery.
Cool.
Yep.
That's really neat.
Also, we've partnered with the 50 Mile March to do merchandise for them and for the public. So if you go to the Farm Focused website and you look under brands, farmfocused.com, you'll see 50 Mile March. Any of that stuff that's on there goes towards 50 Mile March for their fundraising efforts as well. Some really cool swag, a lot of good stuff that we've put together. Folks will dig that. So if you're looking for something to support in general on your person, go there, purchase some of that stuff. We'll get it shipped out to you right away.
Nice.
And profits go to the 50 Mile March, obviously. And I just found this. It's a long one, but if you want to go directly to the link, it's givebutter.com. And then they're calling this this mission this year.
Yeah, every
Operation
year.
Home Base. So it's givebutter.com/Operation Home Base 2025/Morgan Evers. So that's a lot to type in, but if you remember that, that goes to her donate page.
Okay. Yeah,
there you go. I'll put it in the show notes.
Oh, so you thank you.
Show notes.
That'd that would be perfect.
Yep.
But either way, yeah, cool deal. This is the second year that you're doing this. Last year went well. Hopefully this year goes well. Great organization. And you can go back and you can listen to our interview with Jay Morales.
Yeah. I actually just stumbled across some old footage of Jay, and that's awesome that they actually have 7 acres, because he was like talking about that's what we need. We need to start with getting some land.
Yeah.
And wow.
Actually, I think in the next few weeks, because this is in, what is this, in August?
Yeah.
So in July, we'll re-air that episode. So that
it's a two-parter.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. It might have been. We talked to him for a while.
Yeah.
Jay's a hell of a guy.
Yeah.
But folks can get like up to speed on what's going on with the 50 Mile March and how to support and those kinds of things. But super cool local deal, Nebraska deal.
Yeah, it is.
So anyway, that's that. Last thing I had is, as always, Barn Owl. Check out barnowl.tech if you're looking for any cameras for your farm, your ranch, your property. Wireless cameras, cellular connected. Solar powered if you're looking for that feature. Ours work great, man. I get the messages to my phone every single day of the photos of people driving down the lane, of what's going on in the woods. I see the deer growing. I see the people creeping up on Farm Focused HQ.
It's true.
There's a lot of technology in those pictures because they draw a box around the deer and it's like, that's an animal. You know?
Right. Yeah. It's got like the AI recognition. Yeah. If you go to barnowl.tech and you use code FARMFOCUSED, FOCUSED, all one word, you get additional 10% off of anything that they're selling, which is a great, they've got great prices to begin with. And then that gets you another one and gives us a little shout out. So check out Barn Owl, great folks, and give us some reviews. Go on the Apple podcast, the Spotify podcast, whatever you're using, give us a review. Send us a message, let us know you did that. We just shipped out a t-shirt, I think it was last week or the week before, to someone that had had done a review.
Nice.
So check it out. The platforms appreciate that. So thank you guys for listening. You guys got anything else?
Nope. No, I think I got it on there already. Boom, that cool. Fast.
So it's on Instagram, Farm Focused, the link.
Okay.
Cool. All right, man. We appreciate you guys. Nothing else?
Nope.
Right, peace. Let's close it out. We'll see you.